2 Corinthians chapter number 2, I want to begin reading verse number 1. I want to read through verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not again come to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, for I gave it I in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for you are not ignorant of his devices." You may be seated this morning. Lest I forget again, I want to mention, I have 6 more of these copies of the Straight Paths devotional. It costs us $10 a piece. And if you would like one of those, see me. We'd be glad to get one of those. We got some more of them, Ben, but I do have 6 of those now that are left. We find in this scripture some amazing things. By the way, how many get excited about the Word of God? Do you get excited with it? I mean, there are some wonderful, wonderful truths. And as we come to those, they all just spur your thoughts, your imaginations, your heart, and just do a few leapfrogs inside. Amen. Just let God bless you in these things. I want to talk to you this morning on strifes. Strifes. Families have strifes. Some families live in constant strife. That's a shame. Our nation is in strife. We're in strife against those who are terrorists. It seems like we're in strife against our own government at times. We're in strife. It seems like wherever we go, we find our strifes in churches. We find our strifes in the workplace. And they are something that really cause us a lot of heartache and grief in our lives. One of the things we learn from the Word of God, and something that has overtaken me more and more as I study the Scriptures, and that is when we're truly walking with Christ, we are at peace with our brethren. When we're walking hand in hand with the Lord, we have a tremendous love for those whom He loves. For if Christ be in you, and Christ be in you, it seems kind of strange that I don't love the Christ in you, which is you as well. And so we find that over and over, God teaches us this wonderful principle of brotherly love. Christians are known, or ought to be known, by their love one for another. In John chapter 13, a classic verse in my own mind, he says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one of another." So when you and I project love toward each other, that is something that really speaks to the hearts of other people. They know we are disciples, not just in name only, but people who are followers of Christ. Now, here's an area that I believe that the Lord is talking about, especially we get down to verses 10 and 11, and that is that the devil seeks to get an advantage over us. And the advantage he can get over us is when you and I do not have love for one another. When he can get us upset with each other. You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing. He has ruined our witness in this world, and he has gotten the advantage. Let me go back there, verse number 10. Notice what he says, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." Now, we find forgiveness being a very great part of what is being said in verse 10. Matter of fact, it's pretty much all that's being said. Notice what it says, lest Satan should get advantage of us for not ignorant of his devices. So in the context of this sentence, in the context of this chapter, we're finding now that Satan can get an advantage when you and I are not having that love one to another. And so one of the things I look at is that I believe he is seeking to get an advantage over us, one way or another. If you're playing a sport, you're always looking for that which is going to give you the advantage. You're looking for that which is going to give you the edge, that which is going to help you to win the game. It might be many different things, but you're looking for that, and Satan is looking for that. And here's an area that is very, very crucial. And an area that, sad to say, is oftentimes he is able to get the advantage. He is able to win the warfare. So if you want victory over Satan in your life, we've got to have, I believe, some things in our lives. And I'm going to look at it from the negative side this morning. Some of the methods, some of the means by which he accomplishes getting us into strife. Some of the ways he's going to use to get us to be at warfare one with another rather than with him. For if we're fighting amongst ourselves, we're not fighting the devil. If we're using our energy against each other, we're not using it against Satan himself. I received an email this week from a very good old friend of mine, Brother Ken Blue, who pastored for 39 years the Open Door Baptist Church in Linwood, Washington. And now that he has PLS and pretty much confined to a wheelchair, a lot of his ministry consists of a blog that he does and some internet work and just when he can get to churches and preach for them. And he wrote a very interesting article about this very thing and how the devil really uses things from between pastors to keep us at odds with one another. And it was a very interesting article he wrote. I believe that one of the things that the devil uses, and he not only does it in churches, in our homes, he does it amongst brethren in all walks and phases of life, and that is simply from the text, an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit. It is true that the Word of God teaches us that we are at a point to withdraw our fellowship from a brother who is openly living in sin. We find that to be a true statement. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, it speaks of that, speaks of a fellow who was living in sin, really. It's a horrible sin. It was an incestuous relationship. And he told the Corinthians that they ought to stay away from him. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which he received of us." Now, it's such a thing that a person is openly sinning and doing things they ought not to be doing, and we've taken the proper steps. Now, this is crucial too. And we've taken the proper steps. We've gone to him. We've sought to restore that brother. Perhaps we've gone back the second time. We've sought to work with another Christian and work to help this brother to get out of the sinful situation he's in. There comes a point sometimes in churches where churches have to say, "We cannot have fellowship with you any longer." Now, that doesn't mean we don't love them. Doesn't mean we don't pray for them. Doesn't mean we don't long for their restoration. But there does come that point. However, that's a very, very seldom thing. And often we find that Christians just plain withdraw themselves often. We have unforgiving spirits. A Christian has perhaps done something that offended us, said something that got under our skin a little bit. Might have even been the truth. You know, maybe they did something just a little bit different than the way we would do it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they've got a little different mindset than we do. But we are to forgive them. We're to have a forgiving attitude toward them. We're not to go around holding things against folks. I have found something. When I hold something against somebody, I'm the loser. I'm the guy carrying the load. Normally the person whom I'm up with, they don't even know it. They don't even care. You know what I'm saying? They're free. I'm the guy that's carrying it around. And so it's good for me to have a forgiving spirit. It sets me free. Forgiveness of those personal wrongs will keep us from bitterness. I have learned something as I've watched old folks. Either they become bitter or better. Either they become so cranky and so cantankerous that nobody wants to be around them, or they get so nice that everybody wants to be around them. And we have the choice. We can carry around all those things, or we can forgive people. It's just not worth carrying it, is it? It's just not worth it. And how we need to forgive. By the way, forgiveness is a godly quality. Listen to these words found in Ephesians. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed in the day of redemption." Now he's talking about grieving the Spirit of God, making him upset. And then he goes on, he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So I look at that and think, grieving of the Spirit of God is when we have that unforgiving attitude, when we want to just kind of pile it on. When we don't have forgiveness in our hearts because we want to have vengeance. The Lord said, "Vengeance is mine." And forgiving is just, "Lord, you can have it. You can do what you want to do. It's yours to handle. Let God take care of it." Takes the misery away. Amen? We carry so much baggage around when we have an unforgiving spirit. "Well, you just don't know what they did to me." So, forgive them. I know what they're doing to you now. That's the sad thing. What they're doing to you now is making you miserable. One day I saw that. It's been a number of years ago, and I thought, I am not going to let them rob me of my joy anymore. Not any longer. This is stupid. I'm not going to let them do that to me. And I just forgive them and just let God have it. So here we have one of the things I believe the devil would like to do is to get us in that mind frame where we hold grudges rather than forgive people. It's a whole lot better just to let it go. I believe there's something else that he seeks to do to get the advantage of us. So we notice here that is something he's wanting to do. Okay. When I played basketball, I learned that if I could get a step on the opposing player, I could beat him. Now, I was not a fast person. I'm still not fast. But I learned that if I could get a step on the person, they always put me in the post position. That's in the center. I don't know why they call it post, because you'd stand like one, I guess. And I would get the ball. And one of the things that I learned to do was to fake. And so I would fake generally to my right. And then they would be behind me. This leg, all I had to do was get my foot behind their foot. I had an advantage. The only way they could stop me then was to trip over my foot. If they tripped and I tripped, then that would be it, you know. But that's all I needed, was just that little advantage, and would be able to take care of this, you know, take the basket or the ball to the basket. Next problem was putting the ball in the basket. Okay? That was an advantage they had over me, because I never could get the ball going to the basket too well. But you just had that advantage. Okay? When I would play defense, when a person would do that to me, I would try to keep the advantage by using my knees. Rather than putting my foot over the person, stick my knee out. And they run into that one time. They didn't want to run into it again. Okay? Because it hurt, give you Charlie horse, all those things. But you sought for the advantage. If they could get a step on me, they had me beat. That's all you're looking for in something like that. And so the devil is looking for those. I believe another way that he does that is he sows tares among the wheat. Sometimes we have in our midst those who are, they seem to be saved. They seem to have the characteristics of a Christian, but we find they really aren't. If you go down with me, where am I at here? I got to find my spot. Chapter 11, I'm in the wrong chapter to say this. Chapter 11, let me share this with you. And verse number 13. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He makes himself very attractive. So he says, "Therefore is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So he's telling us here, there's even those in leadership positions that are Satan's plants. They look good. And we've got to be very careful. We measure those things by the truth of the Word of God. But it's a way to seek to mess things up. Save people who haven't listened to His Word intently and clearly also can cause confusion amongst the brethren. And they are like tares amongst the brethren. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, we find that Peter made an amazing announcement. And in that, he said, "Thou art the Christ." And the Lord said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him." So he gave us a great and wondrous promise. But then the Lord Jesus goes on to tell us that He is going to die, be buried for 3 days, and rise again. But Peter's not listening very well. And he begins to argue with the Lord. And the one who said, "Thou art the Christ," now is rebuked. And Jesus says, "Get thee behind me," and what's He calling? Satan. Interesting comment, isn't it? And in those moments, he was transformed. Why? Because he had not listened to God. Hadn't really paid attention. So I believe one of the things that the devil uses is an unforgiving spirit, very much so. He will sow tares amongst the wheat. We have found tares amongst our wheat. We have found some folks that after a period of months or years actually came to realize they were lost and they got saved. Thank God for that. And so you have those two things. I believe another thing that the devil uses in the lives of people to cause strifes is carnality. See, what do you mean by that? There are three kinds of people in the Word of God. Let me rephrase that. Basically, two kinds. There's saved and there's lost. But then with the saved people, there is the spiritual Christian. He's walking after the Spirit of God. He's listening to the Spirit of God, which is taking him to the Word of God. But then there's the carnal Christian. He's listening to his own feelings. He's not listening to God. He's not doing things based upon God's Word. It's what he thinks. That's the carnal Christian. In chapter number 1 of our text, and verse number 10, I'm in 2 Corinthians all of a sudden, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I got to get my Corinthians figured out here this morning. It says, "And I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, ye all speak the same thing, that be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." He's saying to the Corinthians, you're divided. Now, if you go to chapter 3 and verse number 1, he explains why these Corinthians were divided at this point. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ." They were carnal. They were listening to the things within rather than that which comes from the Spirit of God. Now, I bring that up to take you to another spot in the Word of God. It's Proverbs 13:10. What a tremendous proverb we have here. It says, "Only." If you hear the word "only," you probably think there's not anything else that can do this. "Only," he says, "by pride cometh contention." Only by pride cometh contention. Pride is that which says, "Hey, I can do it." It is that which is looking internally. It's seeking direction from itself. It's saying, I can handle this thing. But God says, only by pride cometh contention. If you have problems in your marriage, it's because there's pride. And probably both folks. That's what contention start with. If you're having problems on the job, it's a pride issue. Sometimes it's the workers saying, I know more than the boss. And sometimes it's the boss who won't listen to the workers who are right there in the grunt of the affairs. And there's pride in this thing. So we find that we need to get rid of that thing. But he says, only by pride cometh contention. It goes on said, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So what causes strife between us? Perhaps first on my list, and it was first in our study today, was an unforgiving spirit. Another problem we have in churches and sometimes in homes is because of the tares. Because saved people and lost folks don't think alike. And so there can be problem. And then there's carnality. When we're not following the dictates of the Word of God, we're not allowing the Spirit of God to direct us through the Word of God. And let me give you one other one that I believe is very important. And I just label it communications. Communications. Misunderstandings cause a lot of strife. Would you not agree? Misunderstandings. How many have ever said something and you said, why did I say it like that? That's not what I was trying to say. It came out really stupid. You know? Once in a while, it's because that's what's really in our hearts, you know. We said what we really thought, but we shouldn't have. Yeah. A lot of folks say, well, I just say everything's on my mind. Please don't. you know? There's some things we ought to just shut them up. All right. Anyways, we find that we sometimes say things I wish I didn't say that like that. That isn't what I meant at all. And it comes out really terrible. If you do as much public speaking as I do and you preach, you find it oftentimes that you've said things but people didn't catch it right. And there's two problems with that. One is, what seems very clear to me is not necessarily clear to somebody else. But also, something else I believe takes place. This is my own little theory, but I'm going to run with it and just show it to you. The Bible tells us the devil's the prince of the power of the air. This is his realm, is in the atmosphere. It is where Satan, he's the god of this world. The Bible is very specific about that. And since he's the prince of the power of the air, that just tells me some little thing there. Could he not somehow cause words between my mouth and your ears to take a little turn? Has somebody ever said something to you, but that isn't what you heard? You heard it differently? That's what you thought you heard, but that isn't what they said. And sometimes great arguments can happen over those things. So sometimes it's said and it's not heard right. Sometimes not said right. Boy, when it's not said right, we wish they'd hear it right. But we have those problems. Communication one with another. I believe the devil uses that. I have seen, as set into a service where you're preaching, you get to something very critical and the baby cries. From up here, I might not think a whole lot about it, but it might be just a piercing enough of the eardrum that you don't hear what you really need to hear. I've gotten to a spot where some of these sounds off to the sides, I seem to hear them more than the ones right in front of me. They tell me that's because your hearing is changing with time. Do you know anything about that, Bobby? Okay, I just checking out. Anyways, that's it's a problem. And so those little things sometimes can cause that to take place. I believe truly born-again people want to do the will of God. And I believe that we try to voice our intentions, but sometimes, and maybe many times, folks misunderstand them. The Bible teaches us that the devil has the fiery darts. Where do they go? Through the air. And I believe one of the things he tries to confound is the words that are communicated one to another, so that they're misunderstood. And I find another problem with this that is very, very rampant in our day. And that is, people don't listen well. How many are hearing what I'm hearing? Isn't that amazing? It's most of the mother's hands going up. What am I hearing? A baby crying. Okay. I think it's a granddaughter because my daughter just took off. See? So what was she hearing? She was hearing that. Okay. Devil pinched that little child? I don't know. Was he successful in getting her out of here? Was he in on it? I don't know. Could be. But that's the way he operates in our lives. But the others I mentioned a while ago is in the area of listening. Paying attention. How many of you have told your children to do something and had to tell them about 6 times before it finally penetrated? There's a little device that's in most of our homes that has caused a lot of that. Do you know what that device is? Huh? Norm said, television. And I'm not preaching against television, but I will tell you this. A lot of children spend 4 and 5 and 6 to 8 hours a day watching television. And they've got pictures and they've got sound. And it simply mesmerizes them. They get to the point where they can't hardly understand something that hasn't got a whole lot of action with it too. And nowadays with video games, it only enhances the problem. I'd make a great suggestion to you to help your children to be able to have minds that are active, minds that can pay attention, that can actually listen. I would limit their television and their video games drastically. There's an old-fashioned thing that was invented many, many years ago that can accomplish the same thing as a television. And it won't cause that same problem. You know what that is? A book. Yeah, a book. And learning that wonderful world of reading. Why is reading better than television? If you're not paying attention, you're losing the thoughts. Amen? So you got to pay attention. And you're using your mind. You're using your own imagination. The pictures are forming up here. And it's training a person to learn how to pay attention. How many are 45 and below? What I'm about to tell you will not make you happy. The age might be close to 50 now. Most folks who are 45 and below have a very difficult time keeping their minds centered because they were raised so much with television, more than the generation before. And even with video games. And the greatest way to keep attention in a service such as this is not to lecture, but you have to tell them stories. You can keep them while you're telling them stories. Here's an amazing thing. I can tell a story during a sermon, and when I go back and greet people, that's what folks remember. Now, nothing wrong with that, because the Lord was great at using stories. We call them parables. But it is almost to the point that folks cannot follow instructions, cannot follow you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, gain instructions. You can't do everything with stories. They're just old-fashioned relaying of information. And we need to learn how to pay attention that we might gain those things. We give announcements. I try to. I really hate this morning with the thing calling on Friday night. But we try to give announcements several weeks in advance, every service. And in spite of that, I have people who will call me up and say, what's going on Friday night? What time does it start? We're supposed to bring anything? You know, I mean, all kinds of things. And we're all guilty. Most of you in this room have been guilty of that at one point or another. Isn't that true? Yeah, really. And so we try to do that. But one of our problems is we do not listen carefully. And the devil uses that. I am simply amazed. I've had folks walk up to me and say, man, I really got a blessing out of this. What did you get a blessing out of? And they tell me, and I didn't say that. I'm hoping, Doc, it was the Spirit of God that spoke to their heart. Because I didn't talk about it. But they heard something. And we do that. And we need to recognize the devil wants to use those things. If you do that in a service, how do you think he does that in our lives? So many things are missed because we do not pay attention. So how is he going to get us at strife with one another? Unforgiving spirit. We got to learn how to forgive. Amen. Bible teaches we're to love our brethren. By the way, your brethren are going to do some pretty stupid things. Look around. I mean, just look around. We're going to do some pretty stupid things. You know, you're not looking around. You're all looking at me. I understand I do a lot of stupid things. But we all do. And so God has given us an opportunity to put in practice this thing of called forgiveness. And by the way, the brother or sister that may be in this room or may not be in this room who ranks you the worst. Is that a good word? Rankles? Whatever the word is. Upsets you the most. That's God's gift to you. Because you have an opportunity to forgive them the most. Wow. Now, I wouldn't suggest you walk up to them and say, oh, I thank you for being such a horrible person so I can have this wonderful privilege of forgiving you all the time. That's not going to help brotherly communications. But seriously, God allows us individuals, and we ought to look at it as a gift from God. What would that do to your mindset against that person? Or with that person? It might change our attitude towards them and give us a loving heart towards them. Oh my. I had a young man in school this year that happened to me with. One of our younger kids. I honestly could hardly stand the kid. Just one of those that just really, you know, just wanted to, you know, I'm telling you out loud here. He bothered me. But this year, something happened. I got to talking with him. And I was really, don't take this the wrong way, fell in love with him. I had to look past that. Forgive him of that. And when I began to look in this little kid's heart, I found something I hadn't seen before. Because I let one thing, he's just acted kind of sissified to me, and I just bugs me when I see that in somebody. And I look past that and forgetting that. This kid is not a sissy. He's got more manliness about him than many kids much older. The problem was me when I learned how to really look past and forgive him. I cared about him, prayed for him, but I just had that bad attitude. You know what I mean, Virginia? What a difference it made. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. He had an advantage of me in that situation. Alrighty? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Lord, help us today to learn the wondrous art of forgiving. Help us, Father, to realize that sometimes there are tares among us. Sometimes the brethren aren't brethren. They're not going to understand. Lord, help us to realize that you are the one who can help us in a matter of the one who's the prince of the power of the air, and that you can help us in this matter, that we would follow the Spirit of God rather than the leadership of our own desires, and our pride not to cause those things that are contentious. And Lord Jesus, that through it all that we might be those who can hold one to another and defeat the foe of Satan.